Paul Opsomer live in studio. And
good morning again.
Good morning again to you. The SEIU and the, as you like to say, $30 million scheme may be coming to an end. Tell us about this.
Well, we're hoping. We passed Senate Bill 1018 yesterday, and what Senate Bill 1018 would do is prevent a group of individuals simply to self-declare that they are a local public employee, and then they would be open to, let's say, creating their own union or becoming unionized. And that's what happened in 2004 when the home health care workers were unionized. They just simply said, hey, all of a sudden now that you have the MQC3, we are public employees and we want a union. That's not the proper way. That's basically illegal. They were actually at the time, Tony, receiving 1099s, and the Federal Labor Relations Act prevents them and absolutely outlaws them from becoming unionized.
You know what's interesting about this group? We try to be fair and balanced and present both sides of the story. And so I have been in contact with the SEIU and via email. I got no response. Now, I have gotten to gatekeepers here in Lansing as well as in Detroit, and I got no return phone calls. I know you've had the opportunity to interview an official. Tell us what you learned.
Well, we have never had any response, Tony, from the SEIU. We have had response from the Michigan Quality Council that sets up the registry, and they were helpful. They had a lot of answers for some of our questions. They talked a little bit about the relationship. If I'm a home health care worker, I have dual employers, and that dual employers would be the disabled person I'm providing care for and the state of Michigan. The MQC3 isn't an employer of record at all in the whole situation. So you sometimes wonder what their real role is. But the SEIU has not ever returned a phone call or an email. I have had tried to find out, what do I get for my union dues? Since I'm a quality care worker helping maybe a senior mother or disabled brother, the only answer I can get is, really, if I don't get enough training, but the MQC3 is providing no training at all right now, or if I'm taken off the register for some reason, I can grieve that I need to be put on the register. But that one service, being on the register or not on the register, is about the only thing that anyone can come up with that I receive, the only service I receive for my union dues.
So they're just taking money, and a lot of money.
Well, it's up to about $30 million since this was started in 2004.
Well, you're going to hear from them if you start cutting off that money that they get.
Well, I think it would be much better left in the hands of the home health care worker, because they're the ones that are actually providing the service to the disabled or to the senior citizen actually in their house. It's very difficult, very challenging work. You know, and it's something that we would like to encourage people to continue doing.
So you have seen a rhetoric trying to stir the hornets up, if you will.
Well, what we've been trying to do is find out how this happened, why it happened, but then also what services do we receive if I'm a union worker, and that's where it gets a little confusing. From what I've been told, when the SEIU negotiates a contract with the state of Michigan for the home health care worker, Tony, they don't negotiate pay raises or pay or benefits. They simply have an overall general contract, and then they lobby state of Michigan government for more money for this area.
All right, I saw this press release. So you're not the kind of guy that, I don't know, uses those adjectives to overemphasize what you're trying to do. But in this piece of information that I got, it says, Opsomer blast employers who ask for Facebook passwords. You're introducing legislation to formally ban the practice. Tell us about this.
Yeah, we're going to be introducing a bill with State Representative Eric Nesbitt probably next week. It began slowly last summer. We started getting a couple phone calls from constituents talking about how when they applied for a job, a manager or a supervisor wanted their password so that they go on their Facebook page and see everything they've written for the past couple years. And I really feel that's a huge invasion of my privacy. It's also, I think, a violation of state and federal law. Tony, if I have your password, I can find out if you're married, how many children you have, probably find out if you want to have more children what your religious affiliation is. It's almost like opening up your personal private mail for the past 2 years to learn a little bit more about Tony.
All right, but if I'm an employer, especially in a sensitive job area, I'm going to do a background check on you anyway. What do you got to hide? Why shouldn't I be privy to this information?
And I think a lot of it is simply not relevant to the job itself. What I want to know as an employer is what job skill sets do I have and how do they match up with the job that I'm interviewing for? If it is a sensitive area, you can do a very sophisticated background check, which will clear me and make sure that I am, I've got the clearances that you would need as the employer for the job.
Tell me about the Open Meetings Act.
We'll be introducing a bill looking at the Court of Appeals recently undid a decision by the Attorney General. And the Attorney General in 1980, Frank Kelly, said that if you're going to post an emergency open meetings for an emergency meeting, you have to give 18 hours notice, but you also have to have that available to the public for the entire 18 hours. The Court of Appeals said the state statute doesn't say anything about how long it has to be available. So they struck that part down. So the bill will basically get back into, if you're going to have an emergency meeting, it has to be available to the public. They have to be able to get to it. What some cities or school systems are doing is they post it, but they post it inside a hallway within a locked building, and then people can't find out when that meeting is.
The Mackinac Policy Conference will be in May. Many representatives and senators find their way up there, as well as the governor and lieutenant governor. But you are currently scheduled to be in session.
We are currently scheduled to be in session, and right now anticipating finishing up the budget that week.
Well, we're not going to have much of a policy conference with no legislators up there.
Well, we're currently scheduled to be finishing the budget that last week of May.
All right. Anything else new going on with you?
No, but I appreciate the opportunity, Tony. You're looking good.
All right. Appreciate your time. Thank you,
sir.
Thank
you.